Internal Bleeding, Episode 2, written and read by Corbin Hilty. Hey, this is the author. If you're listening to this, I just want to say thank you for giving me a second chance. This is my second episode, only the second podcast I've ever done in my career, which I'm trying to kick off. So if you like the story, please tell your friends. There was a knock at the door. A quick three raps at the cheap wood. Any harder and their hand would surely punch a hole in the door. The knocking came again in slower succession than that of the first set. David jerked out of his half-assed state of sleep and creeped towards the door. Secretly, he hoped that the visitor would get flustered and knock harder, if only because he knew that the door wouldn't hold. David was against the wall by the time the third round came. This round was similar to someone punching a wall, and essentially, that's what it was. Their fist came flying through the door, scattering splinters throughout the room. As if in slow motion, David studied the fist, and noticed that it was scarred and weathered. Distinct male characteristics. David grabbed onto the man's arm and pulled with all his strength, causing the man to fall into the door. A new crack slithered down the door to the jagged hole where his fist penetrated the wood. He pulled the man's arm all the way through the hole and twisted the limb sharply. Screams of agony flowed through the hole as the man tried to get away. David let go and the man dropped. He unlocked the door and ran.
We have an incident, sir.
What do you mean by incident?
It seems that Casey has gotten careless, sir.
The fucktard with the anger issues?
Yes, sir.
I knew I shouldn't have hired him.
He lit a cigarette.
Now tell me, what did he do?
He punched a hole through room 9's door, and the subject broke his arm.
He exhaled smoke.
So what exactly is happening right now?
The subject is currently AWOL. Casey is currently laying on the ground, cursing at the top of his lungs. We're awaiting orders, sir.
Eliminate him.
Sir?
The fucktard.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Channel 6 News on WWTF. Thank you for the introduction, Chet. Tonight, in Top Stories, missing. Several local celebrities have disappeared without a trace. David Ellis, a local hero from the Marines, has simply vanished from society. The search continues, yet there is very little hope of finding Ellis alive now that his disappearance has occurred over 48 hours ago.
It's such a sad story. He only came home 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it is a very sad story indeed.
In other news, several local cops link local hero David Ellis' disappearance with the newly increased military presence in Cleveland. Official details have not been released, but word around the water cooler says that he was picked up by military personnel and escorted to an undisclosed location.
Running, David crashed through doors and turned blindly down corridors. He stopped in the middle of a hallway, searching for the nearest exit out of the building, when it took over him. Blood splattered against the walls, ceiling, and floor. Strands of blood mixed with spittle trailed down David's white gown like a red tie. Although his stomach knotted and protested against him, David kept running. Bloody footprints trailed in his wake. A door creaked open to reveal the brutal winter night. Without hesitation, David ran through it. Freezing gusts of wind did not register with his body. The alarms blared from the compound behind him, red lights illuminating his footprints as he disappeared into the pine trees. He didn't even hear the bullets slamming into the trees around him. Exhaling cigarette smoke, he yelled, "Steele, get your ass over here."
"Yes, Lieutenant Evans,"
he offered a stiff salute.
"Why the fuck are these alarms going off?"
Evans dragged deeply on the pall mall in his fingers. "An emergency exit has seemed to have triggered the alarm, sir."
"Who the fuck did that?"
"Checking the cameras now, sir." Smoke streamed from his nostrils.
"Well, chat faster, will you?"
"David Ellis has escaped, sir," Private Steele called.
"What? He escaped?"
The cigarette flew from the lieutenant's mouth. Steele cringed.
"I know, sir. We had men en route to deal with the problem."
"Well, that obviously did not work, now did it?"
"No, sir, it did not. I have sent patrols to search the roads and combining woods."
"Good. Don't bother talking to me unless Ellis is in custody."
The lieutenant walked away, lighting another cigarette.
"Yes, sir."
"And his ass better be alive."
Steele dialed the phone. Ellis sprinted through the woods, not knowing where he was going, hoping that he would hit a major road and hitch a ride far away. He only paused to study his surroundings, or let the thing, the disease, work its way out of him. He ran even when he was sure his lungs would catch fire. Despite the bitter air stained with the scent of berries, sweat still dripped from his brow. As he stumbled down the slope, David discovered a small clearing which led to a poorly plowed back road. Descending the snow-covered hill, David trekked up the bank of snow guarding the road. He climbed, digging his fingers into the ice itself in order to pull his body over the bank and into the road. As he finally pulled his blood-covered foot into the road, a pair of headlights cut through the darkness, illuminating the snow kicked up by the breeze. The lights stopped in front of David, and the door opened.
"Dude, get in the car. I've been looking all over for you. We gotta get you out of here."
The man wearing a mushroom head t-shirt helped him up off the road and into the car.
"Let's get the fuck out of here."
Well, there you go. Thank you for listening, and until next time, I'm Corbin Hilty.